Right, I think we'll just start. Well, I'm very pleased indeed to welcome Dr. Diwakar Acharya, who's from the University of Kyoto in Japan. He's done his PhD at the University of Hamburg, and he's worked on early tantric texts in the Nipple German Manuscript Preservation Project in Kathmandu. So we're very, very pleased to have him here with us this term. And he'll be giving two lectures and two readings on the Jayotara Tantra, which he's discovered is the source of the Jayaka Samhita, which we've been doing some readings of here in the centre. So today, in his first lecture, he's going to speak about early Vaishnava texts on Nepal. So, without more ado, I'll hand you over to him.
Well, welcome. I'm happy that you are here. Today I'm talking about early Pancharatra texts from Nepal. I worked for Nepal German Manuscript Preservation Project for quite some time, and even before that, already since my college days, I was a frequent visitor of National Archives, so I found some manuscripts, and it is unpublished manuscripts, and it is part of that. We know from some literary sources, including the Mahabharata and some inscriptions, like the Beshnagar pillar inscription, that a form of Vaishnavism existed even some centuries before the commencement of the Common Era. However, the Pancharatra system that has come down to us, even in the earliest of available Pancharatra Samhitas, does not represent this early stage. Since a long time, the Jayakya Samhita has been regarded as the earliest of Pancharatra Samhitas, but as Professor Sanderson has recently stated, the ritual system of even this Samhita is not is the product of a competitive reformation of the Vaishnava system along Saiva lines. The Jayakya Samhita includes comparatively modern elements, for example, Pavitra Arohana and fourfold classification of the initiate, and so, at least in its presently available form, does not represent the initial or early stage of that competitive reformation even. Rather, it represents the final stage of reformation of the Pancharatra system, when it was well prepared to go south and settle there. As we can imagine, there were some earlier Pancharatra texts which were once in existence and use. For example, the Sroto Nirnaya chapter of the Brahmayamala mentions some Pancharatra Vidhana as well as the Vidhanas of Narasimha, Varaha and Vaikuntha. Similarly, we know just the name of another Vaishnava text from reference, the Maya Bhamanika. In the same way, the opening passage of an extra Vaishnava text copied at the end of one of the Nepalese manuscripts of Jayakya Samhita, again unpublished material, lists Jaya, Vaihayashi, Maya, Pauskari, Jyoti, Patalakhya, Lakshmi, Kala Vaishwanara, Pancharatra Rahasya and Kulasekharika as the text already told. But except the Jaya, Pauskari and probably a part of the Lakshmi Samhita, all these texts are lost. Nevertheless, it is fortunate that the treasure trove of manuscripts preserved in Nepal contains some rare Vaishnava texts, not only Saivas. These little known archaic texts preserved in Nepalese palm leaves provide at least some evidence for earlier stages of the competitive reformation of the Pancharatra system. The four texts I am going to describe today in a chronological order of their anticipated date are the Swayambhuva Pancharatra, Devamrita Pancharatra, Jayottara Tantra, that is the Ur text of Jayakya, and the Vasudeva Kalpa ascribed to the now lost Mahalakshmi Samhita. All these texts are earlier than the Jayakya Samhita, which is till now considered as the earliest Pancharatra. The earliest of these texts, these four texts, is Swayambhuva Pancharatra, which is mentioned and actually paraphrased in Soma Sambhu's Paddhati of the 11th century and also in the encyclopedic Agni Purana. Its ritual system contains certain components which can be found also in the Nishvasa Mula and Nishvasa Guhya, which make the bracketing layer of the earliest available or known Saivagama, the Nishvasa Tattva Samhita. The Swayamvara Pancharatra is transmitted in a palm leaf manuscript preserved in the National Archives, Kathmandu. I have one sample folio here. The text is written in three columns, you can see, separated by two string holes, and contained generally 5 to 6 lines. The manuscript is dated, the colophon telling us that it was copied on the 11th of the bright half of Asada, Nepal Sambat 147, quite old, 1027 CE. Unfortunately, this manuscript does not preserve the complete text, but there is preserved another Pancharatra text, the Devamrita Pancharatra, which has close ties with this text. Much of the time, it follows Swayambhuva Pancharatra, borrows from it, and this fact is clearly acknowledged. The Devamrita Pancharatra edits and rearranges a large part of Swayambhuva Pancharatra and reintroduces. This text too is preserved in the same archives in a single incomplete manuscript. I have again one sample folio. This one is not dated, but on paleographical ground I can locate it about 100 years after the Swayambhuva Pancharatra. These two Pancharatras do not hesitate to show their close ties with the Saivas. Not only they openly borrow from Saiva texts, but also imitate their representative mantras and insist that the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, are one. Besides, both of these texts use a good number of Vedic mantras and suktas, particularly in Pratistha rituals, as if they are outdoing the Nishwasa Guhya in this respect. The Devamrita Pancharatra introduces further a mandala, 10 lines of which, representing the 10 incarnations of Vishnu, are equated with 10 Vedic mantras from 10 mandalas of Rig Veda. The same set of mantras is found in the Sankhyayana Griya Sutra in the context of Upakarma. So, some link with Vedism also. The main deity of these two texts is an eight-armed form of Vishnu without extra heads. I have one image matching the description of this deity is preserved in National Museum, Kathmandu. I am not quite sure about the date. I am not an iconographist. So, but one of the copper plates of Maharaja Bhulunda of Balkha describes this form of Vishnu with minor variation in the list of weapons carried by this deity, which can bring the not the text but at least the cult of this eight-armed Vishnu in the 4th century CE. Besides, in one of the Nyasas in the Swayambhuva Pancharatra, we find Vishnu grouped together with Narasimha and Varaha, so this text knows some tradition of worshipping the three together. But it seems that this text does not know even the three-faced form of Vaikuntha, that is the earlier version of Vaikuntha. In Jayakya and Jayottara we have four-faced Vaikuntha. Similarly, we find in the Devamrita Pancharatra, the Pratima Panchaka, a set of five images of Narasimha, Varaha, Vamana, Trivikrama and Vasudeva in Vishwarupa form, a piece of evidence for yet another early tradition. It is even possible that this is reinterpretation of the set of five heroes, Panchaviras. The Swayambhuva Pancharatra and Devamrita Pancharatra overlap a large portion of their text, but still in their available extant forms, both provide certain specific things. However, it is pity that, except for the overlapping portions, since both of these texts are incomplete, we cannot have a clear picture of the development of the ritual system from the first to the second. For example, there is no passage in the extant Devamrita Pancharatra that corresponds to that particular portion of Nyasa section of the Swayambhuva Pancharatra, which contains the Pasupata Brahma mantras, styled after Pasupata Brahma mantras, and collage and other archaic elements. We cannot say whether it had been dropped by that time or was just moved to the later part of the text, now unavailable. There are some quite interesting and noteworthy features in both of these texts, which indicate that in an earlier stage, Vaishnavas had close connections with contemporary tantric as well as non-tantric cults. These features, I hope, help us to guess the place of this text in a relative chronology of tantric texts. A few just I mention. First of all, Swayamvaya Pancharatra contains the five Vaishnava Brahma mantras styled after the original Brahma mantras of the Pashupatas, and also adopts the 38 kalas associated with these five mantras found in the Swachanda and other Mantra Marga texts. Both texts teach to worship in the innermost retinue of the deities, three or four retinue mandala, the five Anga mantras, the Hridaya, Shira, Shikha, Kavacha and Astra, then extra, Gayatri and Savitri, then Netra, and finally the special extraneous Pingalastra, which is unique to the system of Swayambhu Pancharatra and Devamrita Pancharatra, and can be compared with the Pasupatastra of the Saivas in nature and rarity. Presence of Gayatri and Savitri as two different entities in this set is noteworthy. This feature is unique to a very small group of tantras. Sets of mantras arranged in the same way but without the Netra mantra are found in the Nishvasa Guhya and the Pushkara Parameshwara fragments. In the second text, the set is identified as the set of Yoga Pita mantras. The Nishvasa Karika is another text which mentions both Gayatri and Savitri, though just in passing. The Netra Tantra installs the both on the left and right side of Tumburu and treats them as two maids or two consorts when it draws on some system of Tumburu. The same appears true with the Bina Shikha Tantra. The Kubjika Mata and Srimata Samhita mention the both ladies but only in a Nyasa. The Pichu Mata Brahmayamala mentions the both in a line in a very ambiguous way. Though they are not present in the ritual system of this Pichumata Tantra. This retinue has actually nine components, but Devamrita Pancharatra states that Vishnu has eight Angas, though it lists, as I said, nine of them. I think this is indicating at the fact that originally Netra Mantra was not there in the set of these mantras. Let me also mention that Vijaya Ajita, Aparajita, Jaya, Baha, Jambani and Stambani appear in the Swayambhu Pancharatra as one group of Shaktis. I have not found an exact parallel for this set, but the first four names remind me of again Bina Shikha Tantra, the Bama Tantra, and the first one with the last two names reminds me of some mantras of Vajravarahi found in Sadhanamala and Siddhai Kabira Tantra. Jambani and Stambani appear as two of four dutis of Tumburu in the Netra Tantra. However, these two names appear as adjectives in the Utsushmakalpa from the Atharva Veda Parishishta and also in many Buddhist mantras and dharanis which have been transmitted and translated and transmitted to China also, including Mahamayuri Vidyaragi. There is no trace of these specific elements in the Jayakhya or even in the Jayottara Tantra. However, it is interesting to note that some of the South Indian Pancharatras give five Upanishad mantras, which are remnants of the Brahma mantras styled after Pashupata Brahma mantra. Not in the style of Pashupata mantras, but in seed syllable forms. Furthermore, in one passage of the Bhagavata Purana, the idea of formation of the deity's body with five Upanishad mantras and 38 kalas is expressed. So it was a quite standard phenomena, but later it probably was archaic and outdated because Pashupatism was not current that time, and then they were dropped. From all this, it is clear that in earlier times, Vaishnavas were happy with these ideas, but in later time, maybe after reaching the south, they cleaned off all these elements which showed their affinity with Saivas. Now I move to Jayottara Tantra. The Jayottara Tantra, another item in my inventory of early Vaishnava texts preserved in Nepal, is remarkably different from Swayambhu Pancharatra and Devamrita Pancharatra in the sense that it has a new deity and new ritual system in its center and is well formed as a text. First, the Jayottara is not concerned at all with the Pratishtha ritual when this is the main concern of Swayambhuva Pancharatra and Devamrita Pancharatra. The second point of difference is more important. The Jayottara Tantra is centered on the four-faced Vaikuntha and it does not involve any other form of Vishnu in its rituals, though it is aware of his Vishwarupa form. At one point, even states that the sadhaka should visualize himself as Vishnu in the form taught in the Tantra, that the Vaikuntha form, or in the Vishwarupa form, or some other form he likes. However, the Swayambhuva Pancharatra tries to establish that Vishnu is Sarvadeva Maya, i.e. Vishwarupa, though the main deity of this Tantra is an eight-armed Vishnu with no extra heads, and it also shows signs of being aware of the three-faced Vaikuntha form, possibly. This might be indicative of the fact that the doublet of Swayambhuva Pancharatra and Devamrita Pancharatra comes from an area and time where and when the Vishwarupa aspect of Vishnu was popular, and the Jayottara comes from an area and time where and when Vaikuntha form of Vishnu was popular. It appears that the Jayottara, which is written concisely in approximately 400 verses, serves as the foundational layer of Jayakya Samhita, which is available to us in the version of nearly 5,000 verses. It is very much likely that the expansion of Jayottara Tantra into Jayakya took place in Kashmir itself, where the Jayottara was written. Even after the formation of the Samhita, the Jayottara Tantra was not completely dropped. The Padma and Parameshwara Samhita include both Jayakya as well as the Jayottara in the list of Agamas. There the Jayottara is placed immediately after the Ratnatraya texts, which suggests that they were, to some extent, aware of association and importance of the text. Not only these Agamas, but also the 13th century author Vedanta Desika mentions the Jayottara in his Pancharatra Raksha, but no quotations. The only manuscript of the Jayottara Tantra is preserved in the National Archives, Kathmandu. I have two folios, first and last folios of Jayottara. By the way, when I say only one manuscript, I am talking only about palm leaf manuscript. I am not considering the transcripts made from the particular palm leaf manuscript. This manuscript contains 30 folios and, as I said, the text altogether has about 400 verses. The manuscript was completed on the first of the bright half of Kartika, Nepal Sambat 503, that is 1383 AD. The manuscript is quite corrupt and I have the impression that the text was not copied since a long time and the scribe of this manuscript had difficulties in reading his exemplar. In one place he appears to have copied two folios in a wrong order. Probably folio numbers on some of the folios of the exemplar, at least two, were effaced and the scribe was unable to put them in right order. As far as the text structure or framework is concerned, the Jayottara appears not different from the early middle period Saiva Tantras. It particularly reminds me of Sarda Trishati Kalottara or the Saura Samhita. It contains a set of basic elements needed to make a tantra: mantrodhara, mudra, snanavidhi, nyasa, mandala, agnikarya, diksha, siddhi, yoga and abhisheka patalas. On the other hand, the text of the Jayakya is not so coherent. It draws materials from different sources. It contains extra chapters, for example, on pavitraka vidhi, pratishtha vidhi, vaishnavachara and prayaschitta. It gives extensive sadhanas for each and every mantra. Most of the first five patalas of the Jayakya Samhita is much pedantic on the tantric standards and appear puranic than tantric in nature. Nothing from this portion is found in the Jayottara except some traces of the original text on 10 scattered verses about the transmission of the text in the first patala and 14 verses in praise of Vishnu's few selected incarnations and his all-pervasive nature. At the end of several chapters, the Jayakya adds extra concluding remarks such as to whom the knowledge should be revealed and from whom one should hide it, which is not a common feature of an uninterrupted unitary text. So maybe different texts are inserted in between. Now let me make some remarks on the compositional structure of Jayakya Samhita and point out some discrepancies of the expanded text. I begin with Mantrodhara section of the Jayottara, the original text. It has a set consisting of the Mula Mantra, one common Hridaya Mantra for the four Shaktis, six Anga Mantras, Kshiroda Mantra, Asana Mantra, and the Mantra of Garuda. The Jayakya has additional individual mantras of the four faces, their Anucharas, Kaustubha, Mala, Pasa, Ankusa, five Upangas, Kshetrapala, Ganesha, Bagishwari, even mantras for Pitris and Gurus, separate mantras for the Lokeshas and their Ayudas, for different levels of the deity's throne, and also for various ritual actions such as Avahana. This is also important to note that some of these mantras or the deities have no role in the original mandala. I think this also indicates that the text is expanded. I want to record one interesting phenomena found in the Mantra Dhara section of Jayakya. This text identifies the original Mula Mantra, the Mantra of the Four Shaktis, and the Six Anga Mantras, all of these coming from Jayottara and have the form of syllables as Niskala Mantras, and then gives another set of Sakala forms of these mantras. So there are double set of mantras, Niskala Mantra as well as Sakala Mantras. However, the other mantras taught only in the Jayakya have no such double forms. Only Sakala, longish type of mantras. The chapter on the mudras is in a similar situation. The Jayottara gives the Jaya mudra, which combines Vishnu and Garuda, and the four mudras for Vishnu's ayudas, Sankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, but the Jayakya adds mudras for everything introduced additionally in its inflated Mantra Dhara section, and even beyond that, for example, the mudras for Chanda, Prachanda, Jaya, Vijaya, Ganga, Yamuna, Siddhas, none of which are introduced in the Mantra Dhara section. The Snana Vidhi of Jayottara is simple, and like in the Kalottara and other early Saiva texts, teaches Vidhi Snana after Mala Snana. But the Jayakya adds Mantra Snana and even the abstract Dhyana Snana and a whole new chapter on so-called Bhuta Suddhida Samadhi. In the Nyasa chapter, the Jayottara teaches to place the Anga Mantras on fingers and corresponding body parts, and the mantras of the four goddesses on shoulders and arms, and then to meditate one's own self as Narayana and worship him with his ladies mentally on the lotus of heart. The Jayakya enlarges this into two chapters of Nyasa and Manasa Yaga with Samanya as well as Vishesha modes of worship. So quite elaborate. The Jayottara teaches to prepare the ground and make a lotus in the middle for Vishnu, four lotuses for the goddesses in four directions, and four more lotuses in four corners for the ayudas. As it teaches, instead of the earthen ground, the surface of cones, mace, or Nandaka sword of Vishnu can be used. The text also gives an alternative of the mandala worship, the worship of the deity on a water jar, imagining his lotus in the middle of the jar and worshipping the goddesses and the ayudas as before on four directions and sub-directions respectively. But it does not speak about the pratima or prasada, the public mode of worship, and the text does not contain a chapter on passage on the Pratishtha ritual. The Jayakya, however, mentions of making of a Pratima and also of worship of Pratimas installed by the sages or men, and gives a lengthy account of worshipping the deity in a temple. The Jayottara includes brief comments on Japa in the same chapter of Mandala Vinyasa, but the Jayakya begins a new chapter on this issue and gives almost every detail of making and even a repair of Akshamala, the rosary, and further a significant passage on Mantra Bhavana. The Jayottara presupposes basic things like how to make the Matrika Prastara, the arrangement of letters, what are the tantric designations of the Matrika Aksharas, such as Kshya is Anantesha and long E is Vyomesha, and how the Agnikunda is built, whereas the Jayakya tends to be independent and complete and includes every detail. For instance, the chapter on Agnikarya in the Jayottara simply asks to make a round or square kunda with three mekhalas and then asks to offer oblations to the deities of the system after performing the 15 samskaras of the fire. It also tells some general things like the right quantity of substance to be oblated, the right pallavas for different rituals, and prediction of good or bad omens from the fire. The Jayottara provides a vidhi for initiation in two levels. First comes the basic rite that makes the initiate man a Samayajna, who is entitled to worship the deity, perform the associated fire ritual, and study the esoteric scripture. Then the actual rite of initiation for both types of sadhakas, for those who want siddhi and also for those who want mukti. But the Jayakhya offers vidhis for all possible categories of candidates, samayin, putraka, sadhaka, acharya, naishtika, women and children. It introduces an artificial division of samanya and vishesha diksha, and mixing up things cuts the original ritual into five packages of vishesha diksha for five types of disciples. Then it appends a lengthy version of diksha vidhi, which also makes use of a pasha sutra in the purificatory rite, late phenomena, but does not specify to whom this package is intended. In the subsequent chapter, the Jayottara teaches certain rites of mantra propitiation for different purposes. It identifies these rites of mantra propitiation as the bhukti marga and the diksha as the mukti marga. But the Jayakhya inserts at this point a new chapter on Shishya Veda, moves the Abhisheka chapter to the fore after significant modification, and before presenting the chapter on mantra propitiation, inserts again several chapters on mantra siddhi chinna, pratishtha, pavitraka, sraddha, anteshti and prayaschitta. However, the connecting sangati verse of the subsequent chapter still refers to diksha as the antecedent topic, and thus tells us about the expansion. After the chapter on mantra propitiation is presented with some modification, the Jayakhya Samhita adds six good-sized chapters on propitiation of all kinds of minor mantras introduced before in detail with additional visualizations and mandalas. And finally, the text is concluded of Jayottara with a yoga chapter with an additional passage on Utkranti, the yogic suicide. As for the Jayottara, the yoga chapter is presented immediately after the chapter of mantra propitiation. The yoga chapter in the the yoga chapter in the Jayottara Tantra includes a short stotra in praise of Vishnu's those selected incarnations, which are found in early images as well as early texts, for example the Mahabharata. At the end of this stotra, the deity is reminded of his promise of rescue he made in his Hamsa form, and is asked to asked to enter the devotee's body. This looks an archaic phenomena remained here in fossilized form. The Mahabharata describes in two almost identical versions the episode of Vishnu's incarnation as the goose, Hamsa, in which form he teaches the sadhyas. This reminds me of Chandogya Upanishad, where the Upanishadic knowledge is related with the sadhyas. Here again some sort of this type of esoteric knowledge is related to the sadhyas. I have noticed that this narrative episode contains some ethical tenets of pre-tantric Vaishnava ideology, which can be linked to the three Amrita Padas of the Vaishnagar inscription. I intend to take up this issue separately in some other occasion. So the Jayakhya does not mention Hamsa, so it is quite archaic, irrelevant. Cuts off the verses which ask the deity to enter the devotee, and adapts the stotra in the second chapter of the Samhita. Here in the Jayottara, the yoga chapter is followed by the chapter on Abhisheka and another chapter of conclusion that presents some sort of phalasruti. At this point, I would like to make some remarks about the time of expansion of Jayottara into the Jayakhya Samhita. The oldest available manuscript of Jayakhya is dated Nepal Sambad 1187, Common Era. The scribe of this manuscript has indicated lacuna at a few places and has finished his manuscript with the proper colophon with the dates after the 6th verse of the 28th chapter. That means the text is incomplete and the scribe does not know. We can infer from this fact that our scribe's exemplar was somehow defective and he copied the text without realizing that it is incomplete. Our scribe has copied rather confusedly some portions of a paddhati based on the expanded Jayaki Samhita attributed to Sadaka Chandradatta, a disciple of Ekayanacharya Narayana Garbha. On this ground, we might say that the composition of the Jayaki Samhita took place at least before the mid-12th century. To the other, as Professor Sanderson has shown in one of his articles, the Brihat Kalottara borrows from the 23rd and 24th chapters of the expanded Jayakya, which are not present in the Jayottara. This might push the date of the formation of the Samhita further a little back in the early parts of the 12th century or the later parts of the 11th century. Unless we assume that Brihat Kalottara borrowed directly from some other Vaishnava text which was also utilized in the process of expansion of Jayottara into Jayakya. Two minor points concerning the sources of Jayottara, I would like to make. When the Jayottara recommends mud wash for the sake of external purity, it mentions that the number of mud wash should be different in three different seasons. When the Jayakya mentions six seasons in the same context, this might suggest that the former was drawing from earlier Dharmashastra texts, but the latter found it outdated and altered the text. Fourfold classification of mind into samslishta, sulina, vikshipta and gatiragati present in the Jayottara is found also in the Nishvasakarika, again the early Saiva text. But I am not sure if the latter was the source of the former or not, because all the details except the statement of categorization are different in these two texts. But the order, samslishta, sulina, vikshipta and gatiragati, it is something like BADC, this order. It is not ABCD, and this order is the same in Jayottara as well as in Nishvasakarika. So somehow they are linked. If it was borrowed from Nishvasakarika, we have to say that the former completely rewrote the text before it was adapted, I mean the detail at least. But still, this could serve to indicate that the time of composition of both texts was close. Professor Sanderson has recently argued that the Jayakya Samhita as well as the Jayottara is composed circa 850 of Common Era, because these texts teach the cult of the four-faced, four-armed Vaikuntha with the dreadful Kapila face in the rear. He argues that since images of this deity are three-faced until circa 850, these texts cannot be composed before this date, not much earlier. I think such argument is not so secure. I have a counter-example. Images of the composite form of Lakshmi and Vasudeva, which are quite common in Kashmir, Nepal and Himachal Pradesh also, that is counter Vaishnava counterpart of Ardhanarishvara. We have no images of this deity until the 11th century, when a textual reference is found already in the 9th century Netra Tantra. So I am tempted to assume that the text precedes erection of four-faced Vaikuntha images at public places. So I find it quite problematic that just on the ground of available archaeological fact alone, we try to date the text. Sometimes, yeah, we have here the example of Lakshmi Vasudeva. At this point, I want to draw your attention to the fact that the same Netra Tantra tells that a sadhaka can worship Kapila clearly manifest or bodiless. This suggests that there was a tradition of worshipping Kapila even at the time when Vaikuntha was three-faced. So we cannot say that quite some early time three-faced Vaikunthas are available, number images of Vaikunthas are available, and it's only about 850 four-faced Vaikuntha begin to appear. But Netra Tantra is telling that one can worship the Kapila face either manifest or unmanifest. So even when three-faced Vaikunthas were worshipped or sculpted, even at that time, probably in unmanifest form, Kapila was worshipped. At least on the ground of Netra Tantra, we can say so. All these points suggest that we should push the date of the composition of Jayottara by a few decades at least in the 8th century. Also the five-faced Mahalakshmi found in the Jayadratha Yamala, who shares the four faces of Vaikuntha, asked for the same. So Jayadratha Yamala also, Professor Sanderson puts it around the 9th century, and already in the 9th century there is further development of female form of Vaikuntha and with extra fifth head. So now I move to the fourth text, Vasudeva Kalpa. This time this manuscript is preserved in the Kesar Library, not in National Archives, and this also is dated in Nepal Sambat 372, that is 1252. I have one sample folio. And it is preserved together with an almost complete ritual manual based on this text. The text ascribed to some otherwise unknown Mahalakshmi Samhita is exclusively concerned with the composite form of Lakshmi and Vasudeva, a Vaishnava parallel of Ardhanarishvara. Images of this composite form are discovered from Nepal, as I already mentioned, Kashmir and Himachal Pradesh, and textual descriptions are traced in tantric compendiums like Sarada Tilaka, Brihat Tantra Sara, and also in Odisha Vastu Shastra text called Shilparatna. A rare form of this deity with four arms is described in the Padma Samhita, South Indian Vaishnava Agama. These texts come from different parts of India, belong to different centuries, and thus speak of popularity of the cult of this Vaishnava deity. This deity is mentioned also in the 11th century Sitala temple inscription of Yakshapala from Gaya, but we have to resort to a textual reference, as I mentioned a while before, to trace this rare iconic form back in the 9th century. The Netra Tantra in the 13th chapter mentions this as one of the forms of Narayana. As the mantras found in the Vasudeva Kalpa, the text I am editing spells it, the formal name of this deity is Lakshmi Vasudeva. He symbolizes a combination of dual aspects of the reality, the pacific and sublime, the word and meaning, the power and its possessor, and the god and goddess. The Vasudeva Kalpa also explains, though briefly, this philosophical background behind formation of the composite divine body of the deity. According to the Vasudeva Kalpa, Lakshmi Vasudeva has eight arms, a lotus equal to 100 moons in luster and appearing like the fluxing nectar, a mace, a cones, and a discus of burning flames. These are in his right hand side, so Vishnu's emblems. And in his left hands are water jar, a mirror, a lotus stalk, a plant, and a book. Obviously, this is these are Lakshmi's emblems. The Vasudeva Kalpa also provides symbolic meaning of these emblems. The lotus is explained as the creation. The cones is regarded as the representation of the entity of world. The mace is the highest esoteric knowledge, and the discus is characterized as the entity of time. The water jar represents the set of six seasons, and the lotus plant, Nalini, stands for continuation of the world. The mirror stands for the essential reality of all beings, and the book for the essential reality of world, so Sabda Brahma. The image is expected to have golden hue on the left and black on the right. The deity should be depicted either seated or lying or mounted on Garuda or standing. Since this deity was quite popular in Nepal, in several manuscripts I have found depictions, and one manuscript is already 14th century, and it's not directly related with Vaishnava text, but still, so that means probably the scribe was Vaishnava and he depicted the deity there. Quite interestingly, in one of the Jayakya Samhita manuscripts in the middle, between two patalas, I would say that is the point of further expansion. The mantras of this Lakshmi Vasudeva with subordinate other minor mantras are copied there when Jayaka Samhita has nothing to do with this half lady, half male form of Vishnu. For the final remark, I say that the discovery of these texts have flashed some light in the area of the history of Pancharatra Vaishnavism, which is otherwise obscured, I mean the early phase of Pancharatra Vaishnavism. Its affinity with both Saivism and Vedism is important issue. In Nepali's collections, there are still some more Vaishnava texts of Tantric, Puranic, Dharmasastric, as well as philosophical nature, awaiting editions and studies. They can broaden our understanding of Vaishnavism, just like the Saiva texts from there, Nepal, have broadened our understanding of Saivism. So, yeah, I welcome if some students have interest, they can take up the manuscripts and, yeah, do studies, editing work. Thank you. And here are some sample, first three pages of all three texts that I am preparing as text editions.
Thank you. Well, let's open
yeah, please, yeah,
discussion
yeah.
or questions. We have 15 minutes or so. Well, I've got a couple of questions. I thought it was interesting that the Shaiva Vaishnava distinction seems to get somewhat blurred in some of this material, and that they borrow the Pancharatra seems to borrow from the Shaiva material. And so I thought that was an interesting.
Yeah, I think that is the most interesting phenomenon. Generally, the picture of Pancharatra or Vaishnavism we have now is that it is aikantika. Somehow they say that you must worship Vishnu, nobody else. But it is not the case in case of all these texts. Or I can say more like almost all the texts preserved in Nepal. So it was a bit early phase Vaishnavism. And recently I have noticed that it is not only in these texts, but I have not looked the Narayani studien of Peter Schneider, but I was reading the original text, and I find that Narayani in the first part I see clear distinction that up to a certain point there is aikantika type of Vaishnavism, and from one particular point there is actually this identity of Shiva and Vishnu. Mm-hmm. So probably Narayani when Narayani was compiled already there were two schools of Vaishnavism, where in one school there was this aikantika type of Vaishnavism, and in another school where they wanted to combine Saivism and Vaishnavism, and there even the some sort of Ugra, the terrible aspect of Shiva is equated with Narayana. And I'm really quite surprised that Vaishnava, no, like Bhagavata Purana, even they forgot to polish it out that yeah. This 38 Kalas and 5 Upanishad Mantras that make the body of the deity, that idea is still there.
Still there, that's interesting. Yeah. Because, of course, Upaladeva quotes the Jayakya, who's a Shaiva, of course. He quotes the Jayakya Samhita.
That probably, you are talking about the commentary on Spanda Pradipika.
Yes, yes.
Probably that Upala is different than... for Kashmirian Tantric scholars, there was no such thing. Like Abhinava Gupta even quotes Buddhist texts. So to a certain extent, it was some sort of like they were sharing common culture or common tenets. So,
that's very interesting.
Yeah. I was curious. You mentioned in the one text is from 4th century Nepal, something like that, you said?
Yeah, 307, not only one, several, no? Another one.
Yeah, the 1st century one, you said, 100 something also, did you mention?
Oh, yeah, 147, that is, yeah.
Was it mentioned as Nepal Sambat or just Sambat, or how was it?
That probably was just Sambat.
Just Sambat. Okay.
Yes, that is. Sometimes you have such like Nepal Abde, Nepal Hayani, that type of in versified with detailed text, but otherwise in simple colophon it is normally just Sambhat.
But when you say it is from the first century, maybe that is not yet mentioned it as Nepal Sambhat.
No, probably not. But I might know some other colophons which probably have it at least second century around Harshadeva's time, maybe.
Is it possible to make any links with the, the political history of Nepal at the time? In terms of, you're talking about Vaishnava-Shaiva relations. Okay. You've presented a text, a history very much in terms of the text's relationships with each other. I just wondered whether you tried to make any links at all with what might have been going on.
Yeah, I have not done that in this particular case, but that type of probably some relations we have already from Lichavi period, like this Pashupati Devapatan inscription of Harihara that says that there are some people who say that Shiva is the supreme, and there are other people who say that Vishnu is the supreme, and to eliminate such ideas, a certain person, Swami Bharata, he installs the Harihara form, so some sort of social and the type of information we have. And not clear points, but we can collect and link. But in case of Vaishnavism, like in case of Saivism, we have several like monks coming from India and initiating princes, kings there. But in case of Vaishnavism, I have not yet found such thing. In case of Netra Tantra, we have even Abhaya Malla writing a Paddhati text on this new cult. I'm quite interested. I have not explored, and I don't know I can do that or not, but there must be in Newar community some Vaishnavas who continue with these traditions. I'm not sure. Devi Chandra Shrestha, probably you know him, he was once telling that there are some families.
In the Jayaki, you get this classical ritual pattern, if you like. After the purification you get the Bhuta Shuddhi, the purification of the body, followed by Nyasa, the divinization of the body, followed by mental worship, followed by external worship. And I always think that that's a sort of like a template or something for later tantric worship. You get that fourfold pattern. But in your text, in the Jayutara, you don't get that fourfold pattern, or it's there implicitly. So that develops at a later period. Then,
probably. In general, like this type of Bhuta Shuddhi, the fundamental idea of that, like you install certain mantras, deify yourself, and then you worship the deity. That idea is quite old, and probably it goes even beyond the tantric realm. And already in the tantric context, in Nishvasa, we already have it. But this type of fourfold steps not yet in Jayutara.
So the Jayakya could be borrowing that
that I was mentioning in the beginning, that there were several other Vaishnava texts, not only Saiba, and unfortunately probably many of them are lost, and the person who was compiling here, expanding or compiling, he was compiling, not composing, probably. Less composing than much compiling, probably. Like some content of Jayakya, they are very much go well with Vasudeva Kalpa, another text.
Mm-hmm.
So, in Jayakya we have different type of material we have to distinguish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have one last question then. Why do we not have? Why is there no commentarial tradition in the way that you have a parallel commentarial tradition in the Shaiva material? You don't seem to have in the Pancharatra material. There's no commentary, to my knowledge, on the Jayakya, for example.
No, yeah, that's something. No, but in case of Shaivism, also. In Nepal, at least, no commentary has survived. No commentary was written there. But in case of... this is quite surprising that even in Kashmir, no, where there is quite a strong tradition of commentary writing, there is commentary on Spanda, no, by some Vaishnava Utpala. He goes and writes on Spanda, but he doesn't write commentary on Jayakya.
Yeah.
That is known to him.
Presumably, that must be an index of the comparative importance of these texts in the wider community, I suppose.
In case of Spanda, we can say probably it was covering a larger area, it was even popular beyond Vaishnavism, beyond Saivism, so that that's why it was important, he thought. Not sure why. Or another thing can be, once Jayakya was there, we can take, that I was telling, once we can take Jayakya itself as Vyakhya Tantra. Like in case of Buddhist Tantras, there are certain Mula Tantra and Vyakhya Tantra. That type of category is not there, but Jayottara can be the Mula Tantra and Jayakya can be Vyakhya Tantra.
Mm-hmm. It could be that there wasn't royal patronage of these cults, though, in the sense that there was for the Shaiva traditions. So.
In Kashmir, for some time, there was patronage for Vaishnavas also, like Avanti Barman and these people.
Mm-hmm.
But quite fascinating, in Raja Tarangini, there is, for political reason, the king converts, and then he is... For his whole life, he is Vaishnava, but at his deathbed, he says that he is still Saiva. Please take me to the Saiva Tirtha.
Just keeping his options open. Well, thank you very much indeed for a very interesting talk, and I look forward to your. Next talk, which will be on the 22nd of February, but before then, there's which is Negative Flashes of 1980 in the Realization of Brahman, which is your work on the Brihadaranyaka.
And there I would have something quite new, which will ask to change the until now of interpretation of traditional as well as modern interpretation of certain text passages of Brihadaranyaka, so please.
But from next 2 weeks today, on the 1st of February, Dr. Acharya will be giving readings of the Jayottara Tantra, so you're very welcome to come along to those. So thank you very much indeed.